Good to see you this morning. As Craig had mentioned, if you didn't get a chance to get one of these sealed communion cups, they're on tables in the foyer. We would welcome you to grab one of those so you're ready for communion at the close of our service. We could maybe pass them around to you too if you didn't get them. We'll see how many don't have them, I guess, when it comes time to have communion. I want to call attention to your bulletins. There's a lot of names there, and those families and people would surely appreciate your prayers. I want to also mention that there has been several in our community lately that have lost their loved ones. This beautiful arrangement sitting here beside me is from a funeral yesterday from a 48-year-old from Staples. She grew up there, and we did that funeral yesterday, and others in our community have died since. So I'd encourage you to continue to pray for those. There's seems like a lot of death around. And of course, cancer and COVID and many other things. So that prayer list is there for you to read and pray over throughout the week. We pray that you will. Let's pray before we go any further. Gracious God, loving Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to worship, to sing, to fellowship with one another, to hear from your Spirit. It's such a privilege to have this freedom in America. And so thank you for all that have come this morning. Thank you for other churches that are gathering all over our community and region and nation. May the name of Jesus be lifted up in all of us. Father, I do pray for the names on the prayer list today, and there are names that could be there and aren't, families that have lost loved ones that might not be on there. We just pray, Lord, will you comfort them in a special way? Above all else, Heavenly Father, would you draw people to yourself so that people would trust in you completely, love you fully, and walk with Jesus in this pathway called life? Whether they're battling cancer and going through treatments again or have COVID, we understand there are more in our community with that. Also, again, we just pray for their strength and their peace, the peace that comes from Jesus. And for our nation, Father, our communities, but our nation as a whole, I pray for revival, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would be poured out upon us and people would turn to you by the millions. People would confess you as Lord, surrendering fully to Jesus Christ and being led by the Spirit. I pray that from the very highest forms of government and the very highest forms of churches to the folks that are not in church or not in government, either one, I pray for the salvation of souls. Lord, as we gather this morning to look at Scripture a little bit, we ask for your Spirit's leading as we celebrate communion. We ask that, as Scripture says, we would do that in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So guide us now this morning, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mentioned to you last week that we would probably try to spend some time in Romans. So if you have your Bible, we're going to start in Romans chapter 1. And so I'm sure it will be on the big screen for you too if you don't have your Bible, but I hope you have your Bible with you. I won't start at the first 15 verses. You can read that. That's Paul's usual introductory statement. He does that for most of his letters. And so you can read that. I would reiterate verse 16 just because it's such a beautiful verse, but I'm really going to pick it up at verse 18. There's a paragraph there that I want to emphasize this morning for a couple reasons, to just remind us of what Paul is saying about this phenomenon that's happening there, but also in preparation for next week when we look at the latter part of the same chapter. In verse 16 of Romans, I'm sure that some of you have probably memorized that verse. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile also." And so we have that great statement, but like I said, I want to pick it up at verse 18, and I am reading today from the New Living Translation. Might be a little different if you're watching yours in your Bible, but New Living Translation will be on the big screen, and hopefully it's close to what translation you have in your hands. Here we go. "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth." Bear in mind that little phrase, "who suppress the truth," because that's what he's talking about in this paragraph. And how do they suppress the truth? By their wickedness. And Paul continues, "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them." And then he elaborates further on that in verse 20. What is this obvious? "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God." You see what he's saying, friends? There's a created order around us. And I realize lots of folks don't subscribe to creation from our Heavenly Father. But if we will look around us in everyday living, in the very small and the very large, if we just look around us, Paul says, through everything that God has made, we can see his hand there. We can see his invisible attributes. And he says this because there is a group of people that will not acknowledge that, or even if they know about God, he's going to elaborate on another verse or two in a minute, they're not doing that. But the one thing that sticks out to me in this first couple of sentences, paragraph here, is there really is no excuse for not knowing about him just because we can see so much of his created order. Paul said, they have no excuse for not knowing God. Further, Paul writes in verse 21, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused." Elaborate some on that next week. "Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles." Over the course of years, ministry and otherwise, in my life and perhaps in yours, people ask me questions about the existence of God. Have you had those conversations, friends, some of you? This means yes, I have. This means no, I've never. Work with me. We're not done yet. People are wondering about the existence of God, okay? You've encountered him, so have I. People are wondering, and they've asked me for proof. Have you been asked for proof by anybody? Yeah. People are wondering, and people are looking for proof. And so over the years, people have asked me about those things. Prove it. I had this absolutely delightful conversation whenever, Wednesday. It's a good thing someone keeps track of me. With one of our graduates who sent me a text. We'd handed out Bibles, sent me a text, and he said, "I'd really like to know more about this." I thought, hallelujah, that's wonderful. And so we met and we visited, and the long and the short of it is, he said to me, "Jim, I've really been kind of a skeptic. I could really use some proof." Have you been there once in a while? You're praying, you're not getting answers, and you say, "God, I could really use some proof here that you're even hearing me." Have you been there? I have. And this young man was. He just needing something tangible. And so we looked to Scripture for a little while. I had a wonderful hour and a half conversation with him, and I said, let me just explain a little bit about the evidences of God in creation. And I've had the pleasure of being on a farm and seeing newborn babies and seeing newborn babies of human in the church. We had one here this morning, and so I just got to talking to him about the evidences that seem to me to be clear. Now I realize they're not clear to some. So then I took it a step further and I said, okay, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you who Jim was once upon a time. Not that bright in the ways of God and the things of God. Not even sure I cared. Was raised in church, but was probably like you, needed some proof. And so I told him my story about how I came to Christ by faith. And I simply said to my young friend, "He changed me. He changed me from," I said, don't get me wrong here. I'm not perfect by any stretch, and I still have plenty of faults, but he changed me that day from the old ways, the old thoughts, some of the old language, some of the old behaviors to somebody that was different. I said, "That's the only evidence I can give you, but that is real. What he did in my life is evidence that God is real." Can I get a witness? Have you been there? That's evidence to me when he rescues. I get the wonderful privilege of being a teen challenge every now and then for chapel. When he rescues somebody from the throes of sin and bondage and on the broad road that leads to destruction and puts them on the narrow road that leads to life, that is evidence to me that God exists. I have seen it many, many times, and it's a beautiful thing to see that transforming power of the Holy Spirit of God when we come to Him by faith. And so I simply said to my young friend, "That's the best evidence I can give you that He is real." He took Jim from here and placed him on a pathway here, and they were very different. Back to Scripture. Paul uses that term in some of your Bibles. If you've got them open, it says the wrath of God. The New Living Translation says, but God shows his anger. Paul starts that way Because there will come a time when God's wrath is directed towards godlessness and wickedness. That's a fact. When we study the book, we'll see that. Old and New Testaments both, present and future. Now, I understand we don't like to talk about God's wrath or judgment. We'd rather talk about his love, and he is a God of love, but part of his love is justice. And so Paul says there's going to come a time when there will be God's wrath or God's anger against godlessness and wickedness. Why? He elaborates on that further when he says, because they knew about God and didn't worship him and didn't even give him thanks. That's why. That's some of the whys. God, in his goodness and grace and holiness and righteousness and mercy, has given us all these things to see him. And according to what Paul is saying here, sometimes we ignore it and sometimes we choose something else to worship. That's why the wrath of God will happen. Now back to Scripture, verse 19. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them or us. In the next verse, he says, they can clearly see his invisible qualities or his attributes in your Bibles. Can clearly see his eternal power and divine nature. And because that is evident and clearly seen, if we will just look, he says then, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. No excuse. There is one phrase in there that I've wondered about, pondered, wrestled with a little bit this week. That's the part that says, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. Did that catch your attention? No, it didn't. You would think that's an oxymoron. How can you see something that's invisible? That's what he says. That we can clearly see his invisible qualities. But when we begin to look at the created order of God, you can begin to see his invisible qualities. Amen? I chose a New Living Translation today for the simplicity of this statement in verse 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky, and through everything that God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. Since the beginning, Paul said, the evidences have been there. And we, if we will look, can see it. Now, when somebody comes to me and says, Jim, give me proof, I'm not going to blame. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to present to them the best I can, as Paul did. There are some obvious to me, some obvious things. I'm going to present to them what seems like strong evidences of God. For some younger ones that have asked too, those kinds of questions, we could give them examples about just the created order itself. I used the example of the sun this morning in the earlier service. The sun is about 93 million miles from Earth. If it were 92, it would have been warmer yesterday. It was warm yesterday. But if it were 92 million miles, we wouldn't be able to exist on Earth. If it were 94, we wouldn't be able to exist here either. That's the creative order of God. Sherry and I were just on the ocean for a few days, a month or so ago, and we're reminded of the tide goes out, the tide comes in. That's part of the created order of God. The moon, as it circles the earth, has an effect on the oceans. Why? Because that's how God made it. You can see those evidences. I just marvel when I see those waves crashing against the rocks. They've been doing it for endless thousands of years, as far back as God made the earth. The tide comes in, the tide goes out, does it every day. Part of the created order of God. And so when we begin to look around, we can see the evidences. And I said this too because I have talked to people this week with death, loss of their loved ones and such. There are times in our lives when we're experiencing difficulty, but we know God, we're trusting Him, we're worshiping Him, and even though our life seems to be going to heck in a handbasket, so to speak, there's this peace that washes over me. Have you experienced that, friends? So have I. That's what the Apostle Paul calls the peace that passes understanding, and that comes from the Prince of Peace that the Bible calls Jesus. Those are the invisible attributes of the living God. They're there in enough evidence that Paul says we don't have any excuse not to come to Him by faith and worship Him for who He is, because the evidences are there. Let me move on. So we can get to communion. We can choose to ignore God. He gives us that choice. You know that. We can choose to ignore His invisible attributes, His created order. We can chalk that up to happenstance or something else. We can choose to be atheist. God gives us those choices. It won't end well in the end, but we can choose that way. The point is, here's what he says in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, yes, they knew God. It would be phrased better if it was said, yes, they knew about God. I hear that all the time. And the apostle says, they knew God, but they would not worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And when I read this statement, I ask myself, is this our reaction today in the 21st century? Everywhere we go, we encounter people that says, I believe in God. Do we not? We do. Paul said this category of people was saying the same thing, but they weren't worshiping Him. They weren't even giving Him thanks. And so I ask us to ponder that question. That statement, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. I submit to you, is that possible that too oftentimes that's our reaction today? And then he said, because they're not worshiping the living God, what then begins to happen is, he then says in verse 23, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And you say, Jim, I'd never bow down to a reptile. But there are gods today that Americans are bowing down to. They may not be reptiles, but they're gods. You see what he's saying here, friends? They knew about God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God You see, the Bible talks about this in the Old Testament. God has created within us, kind of like this vacuum that needs to be filled by something. You still with me? God has designed that within us. And if we do not fill it with Him, we're going to fill it with something else. It might be stuff. It might be business. It could be 100 things. Paul says they were starting to worship other things like, well, what he listed. And we might not do that, but if we don't fill our lives with the living God, we will fill it with something else. And that becomes what we worship instead of the living God, the something else. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to close here in a moment, and then we're going to get to communion. But I want to say this about verse 21. I fear today we're worshiping something in America, and it's not God. You say, Jim, speak for yourself. I'm worshiping the Lord. Good. Praise be to God. I'm glad that you are. But as a nation, we are worshiping something, and for the most part, it is not God. I'll give you one example, then I'll quit. We'll move on. I was given an article just the other day. Guy from the earlier service, he was here this morning. He gave me an article, and he said, I know you like statistics. Check this one out. So I read it, and here's what it said. According to a recent Barna research poll, 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Does that register with you? According to a recent Barna poll, 6% of 100 in America have a biblical worldview. You know what I'm talking about when I say biblical worldview? It means I still believe this. When it says he was born of a virgin, I believe that. When it says he was raised from the dead on the third day, I believe that too. A biblical worldview is one that subscribes to this as the authority of God and still is the truth and has not taken away from part of this and said, well, that's old-fashioned. 6%. Does that register now with us, friends? I submit to us that if we are not extremely careful, we will be just like the category that Paul says, yes, they knew about God, but they would not worship Him as God. They would not even give Him thanks because we had filled our lives with something else. If we're not very careful, we can fall into that trap. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God. Here's my point. We'll close and go to communion. God longs to reveal Himself to us. He longs for us to know Him and to worship Him. He longs for that. He does it in so many ways. His creative order, His invisible attributes is part of that. He longs for us, human beings, to want to worship Him. He wants us to experience Him and to feel His presence and to experience His love and the joy of life because we know Him. He longs for that. And He has given us a multitude of opportunities to see that and to experience that. So much so that Paul says we don't have any excuses not to. Oftentimes people post pictures of the sunrise. You got to get up pretty early this month to see it come up, but you can do it, and it's so often so beautiful. Or the sunset, or that newborn baby, one that was here in the earlier service, or the animals that you see born on your farms, or a thousand other things. He has given us so many things to see his handiwork, to see his created order. And I simply want to suggest to us today, may we not be part of that group that said they knew about him, but they didn't worship him as God. They're filling their lives with something else. May we not be part of that group. As a matter of fact, maybe may we repent of that. If we have filled that void that he created in us for him, may we repent of filling it with something else. We need to repent of our sins before we come to the communion table anyway. May we repent of that and surrender completely to him and allow him to lead us as God. Amen. Father, as we have just sung, boy, oh boy, we could get hung up on our unworthiness. But for the grace of God and the shed blood of the Son of God, we can be redeemed people, justified in the sight and the eyes of you, our holy God, and we can walk in newness of life. We thank you for that. And so I pray, Lord, as we go this week, that you would help us to be a people that sees you in everything and fills our hearts and lives with you, the living God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray this week, Father, that even when we have questions and wonder, we would trust you. And so go with each one here today, Father, into this pathway called life, guiding, instructing, encouraging, forgiving, redirecting if we need that. Go with each one. Help us to trust you completely, love you fully, and journey with Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.